Let's turn our Bibles this morning to 1 Samuel chapter 29. We're going to finish up the book of 1 Samuel this morning. At least that's my plan. Talking about David's victory and Saul's defeat. 1 Samuel chapter 29. It says, "Now the Philistines gathered together all their armies to Aphek. And the Israelites pitched by a fountain, which is in Jezreel. And the lords of the Philistines passed on by hundreds and by thousands, but David and his men passed on in the rearward with Achish. Then said the princes of the Philistines, 'What do these Hebrews here?' And Achish said unto the princes of the Philistines, 'Is not this David, the servant of Saul, the king of Israel, which hath been with me these days or these years? And I have found no fault in him since he fell unto me unto this day.' And the princes of the Philistines were wroth with him. And the princes of the Philistines said unto him, 'Make this fellow return, that he may go again to his place which thou hast appointed him. Let him not go down with us to battle, lest he in the battle be an adversary to us. For wherewith should he reconcile himself unto his master? Should it not be with the heads of these men? Is not this David of whom they sang one to another in dances, saying, Saul slew his thousands and David his 10,000s? Then Achish called David and said unto him, 'Surely as the Lord liveth, thou hast been upright, and thy going out and thy coming in with me is in the host is good in my sight. For I have not found evil in thee since the day of thy coming unto me unto this day. Nevertheless, the Lord's favor thee not. Wherefore now return and go in peace, that thou displease not the lords of the Philistines.' And David said unto Achish, 'But what have I done? And what hast thou found favor in thy servant so long as I have been with thee unto this day, that I may not go fight against the enemies of my lord the king?' And Achish answered and said to David, 'I know that thou art good in my sight, as an angel of God. Notwithstanding, the princes of the Philistines have said, he shall not go up with us to the battle. Wherefore now arise up early in the morning with thy master's servants that are come with thee, and as soon as ye be up early in the morning and have light, depart.' So David and his men rose up early to depart in the morning to return into the land of the Philistines, and the Philistines went up to Jezreel." Let's pray. Father, as we look at this passage this morning, I pray you'd help us to understand how you work in each person's life. Father, we know that you're in control of all things. We know that you work in order to accomplish your will. Father, we know that it is important that we walk with you. It's important that we obey your word, that we follow your commands. Father, I pray you'd help us to see these two examples this morning and make the choice that we will do what's right. We will follow your word. We will honor you. Father, I pray you give me clarity of speech and clarity of thought this morning. I pray that you would allow your word to go forth and your Holy Spirit would take that and would teach each one of us the things you want us to learn. In Jesus' name, amen. It seems that this scene has been set so many times throughout the book of 1 Samuel. Here we have the Philistines encamped on one side and the Israelites encamped on the other. The one difference here is that David is on the Philistine side. But when I read it, it reminds me of the verse in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7. It says, "When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him." See, David is described as a man after God's own heart back in 1 Samuel 13. And during the years leading up to him becoming king, David lived a life of integrity. He followed the Lord. He obeyed the Lord. He sought the Lord. He obeyed God's authority. He served willingly in King Saul's court. He led courageously with what he was given responsibility to do. He respected God's leadership over Israel because he realized they were God's appointed leaders. So what was David doing in the camp of the Philistines? Well, if you remember back in chapter 27, that when David was fleeing from Saul, and he kept going from place to place, and finally he went down to the camp of the Philistines, and Saul said, "Okay, I'm done. I'm not chasing him down there." And so David fled down to live among the Philistines. So David comes to Achish, king of the Philistines, or king of Gath, and he says, please give me a place that I can settle in this land. So Achish gave David Ziklag. And so David takes he and his men, and they go down and they settle in Ziklag. And we see here that it wasn't just David and his men. We see it wasn't just a temporary situation. They were intending to be there a while. In fact, you look in these verses, that Achish says, David has been with me for years. So David had dwelt among the Philistines, and it says in chapter 30, if you read that, that their families were with them. Okay, it wasn't just David and his men. It was their wives, their children, all that they had were with them there in Ziklag. Back to the camp of Philistines in chapter 29. David and his men prepared to go up to battle with the Philistines against Israel, but God had other plans. And if we ever see the providential hand of God in David's life here, it's in these next few verses, in verses 3 through 5, where the princes of the Philistines said, no, huh, you realize who this guy is? You realize this is a guy that they said he slays 10,000s when compared to one who slays 1,000? Who are we? Why are we letting him, who's come from our enemies, why are we letting him fight with us? And the princes of Philistines said, no, it's not happening. God moved the heart of the princes of the Philistines to oppose David, joining them in battle. And they demanded that David be sent back home to Ziklag. They were concerned that David would turn on them during battle and join up with the army of Israel. David's reputation in battle had reached them. And so they didn't want to have this guy in this questionable situation where he might turn on them. So they said, send him back home. So Achish comes to David. He commends him for his upright character, but he says, you've got to go back home. He says, the lords of the Philistines don't want you here. So we see in verses 6 through 11 that he says, David, you need to go back home. So David and his men get up early in the morning and they return to Ziklag. In chapter 30, we see 3 days later, they come to Ziklag and they find that it had been plundered by the Amalekites. It says in chapter 30, verse 1, it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and had smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. Had taken the women captives that were therein, they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. And so David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. And so David comes and he sees his place where he had settled with his family, with his men, it was all burned, and his family was gone. But again, we see God's hand in providing David and his men to return home at this critical time. See, David could have been away fighting with Israel, never knowing that his family was in distress. But God allowed this to happen at this time so David and his men would go home at this critical time. They needed to be there. We see in verses 4 and 5, David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And so David comes and they just distressed. They said, what do we do? How do we deal with this? The first thing I want to look at this morning is David's victory. And I believe David's victory starts in verse 6. In the first part of that verse, we read that David was distressed. So David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. Remember another time in Scripture where somebody was going to be stoned because the people were upset with him? How about Moses? People wanted water. And said, Moses, yeah, you brought us out here in the wilderness to die, and now we have no water. And they were ready to stone him. What does Moses do? He goes to the Lord and says, God, they're ready to stone me. They're going to kill me, God. What am I going to do? God says, Moses, go over to that rock, take your rod, and you strike that rock, and there will come water out. Take care of it, God. God says, I've got this, Moses, I've got it. It's okay. What does David do when the people are ready to stone him? The last part of verse 6, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. You see, these men could have turned on him and killed him within an instant. These weren't just businessmen. These were rough fighting men. If you look at chapter 22, verse 2, it says, "And to everyone that was in distress, everyone that was in debt, everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400, and then he gathered another 200 after that." These weren't just men that were pleased with how things were going. They were disgruntled. They were upset. They were, obviously, these men could have just turned on David in a moment's time. But God took care of David. It says he encouraged himself in the Lord. And when there was a need, David went to the Lord. Let me read some verses for you in Psalms. It says, Psalm 28, 7 and 8. It says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed." Psalm 46, 1. "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." Psalm 73, 26, "My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Psalm 81, 1, "Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob." Psalm 84, 5, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them." See, David knew he couldn't get through this on his own. He knew he wasn't going to be able to deal with this band of hundreds of men on his own who were upset, so he went to the Lord. He goes to the Lord and says, "God, should we pursue after this army? What should we do? Should we follow them and get them again and go after them?" And God says, "Yes." He says in verse 7, David said to Abiathar the priest, "Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod." And Abiathar brought forth the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them?" And he answered, "Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." So David goes to God and says, "God, what do we do?" And God says, "Pursue after them." And there's a very important principle here that I want us to understand, and that is God will take care of those who honor him. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Verse 30, he's talking to Eli here. It says, "Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me. For them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." Another passage in Psalm 18, verse 20. Says, "The Lord rewardeth me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me." So when we honor the Lord will take care of us. The Lord will watch over us. The Lord will meet our needs. So God did that for David. And God assures David that he would pursue them, or he should pursue them, and they will recover everything. We look down in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 9 and 10. And that's what they did. They pursued after the Amalekites. They began to come to their camp. And again, we see the providential hand of God. Look at verse 11. So they go to pursue them, and it says, "They found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water. And they gave him a piece of a cake of figs and two clusters of raisins, and when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and three nights. And David said unto him, To whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? He said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite, and my master left me, because 3 days agone I fell sick. We made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites, and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah, upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, Canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, Swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. When he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. David and his men go down, and they pursue after the Amalekites. In the providential hand of God, they meet up with this young man who's an Egyptian. He's an Egyptian slave. He's a slave to the Amalekites. Was it chance that this young man fell sick? No. No, it wasn't chance. God had intended that to happen all along. And David and his men come across this young man, and he says, "Can you show me where they are?" And the young man says, "I'll show you, but you've got to promise you won't kill me, and you won't turn me over to them." So David promises, and they come to the camp of the Amalekites. And you know what? We read in verses 17 through 20, it happened just as God told David it would. They recovered everything. They took everything back, their wives, their children, all their goods, and more goods on top of that. And they recovered all that they had lost when the Amalekites had invaded Ziklag. And that brings us to another principle in Numbers 23:19. This is, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? And that's one thing David got his confidence in. When God said something was going to happen, what could he count on? It was going to happen. And David relied on the promises of God. But what else do we see God doing here? When David was sent home from the camp of the Philistines, and he wouldn't be able to go to fight along with the Philistines against Israel, what was God doing? If you remember back in chapter 24, verses 5 and 6, and in chapter 26, verses 8 through 11, David had two chances. When Saul was pursuing him, David had two opportunities to kill Saul. Did he do it? No. Why? He says, because I will not lift up my hand against God's anointed. I will not, and he would not let his men either. David had already stated that he wouldn't do that. He respected the leadership that God had placed over Israel. He had respect for Saul, and it was another way of honoring the Lord. But even when Saul was mortally wounded in battle, we see in 2 Samuel chapter 1, Saul was mortally wounded. And again, he meets up with a young man who said he basically finished off Saul. Still, David condemned him. He says, let me read that for you in 2 Samuel chapter 1. How wast thou not afraid to stretch forth thine hand to destroy the Lord's anointed? David even condemned him. Saul was going to die anyway. You know, I remember when I was in college, we had an ethics class. And one of the things that they always, you know, kind of give you these scenarios and say, what would you do in this scenario? So you're in a plane, you're at 20,000 feet, and the pilot has a heart attack. The plane is on a dive. You're going to die. The plane's going to crash. The pilot can't fly the plane. He turns to you and says, kill me because I'm going to die anyway. And they say, what would you do? Saul was going to die anyway. Was it wrong for this Amalekite? David thought so. He condemned this young man because don't you even have a regard for God that you would lift up your hand against God's anointed? David wouldn't do it. So when the Philistines were going to battle, who were they fighting? Go back a little bit. When we talk about the Philistines going to battle, who were they going to fight against? Israel. Who is in Israel? Saul and all his army, and all the men of Israel. But we said David was on the Philistine side. So he'd been fighting against Saul and Jonathan, his own people. It would have been made very difficult for him, for the people to say, well, David, you're going to be your next king, when he's just been fighting against them with their enemies. See, that was all part of God's plan to get David out of that situation. So he didn't have to fight against Saul, against Jonathan. He didn't have to lift his hand against Saul, because one commentary said, can you imagine the rumors? If Saul had been killed and David was fighting with the enemies, well, David killed him. See, God got David out of that difficult situation. God's hand was at work there. So we see David had the victory over the Amalekites. He was also victorious in that God delivered him from violating a commitment that he had made to honor the Lord. That was David's victory. It was victory in a battle, but it was also victory in his own life. Victory to keep a commitment he had made to the Lord. But secondly, let's look at Saul's defeat. When we come to chapter 31, that brings us to the end of Saul's life. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." That was Saul's life. He thought he could be successful by his own plans, his own decisions, but it ended tragically for him. We look back in chapter 28, verse 19, that Samuel had said, "Saul, you're going to die. And all your army is going to fall to the Philistines." And he says, "And also your sons are going to die, and you're going to be with me this day." See, Saul's obituary could read, "He rejected the word of the Lord." That explains everything. Why did Saul face what he faced? Because he rejected the word of the Lord. Notice what the Bible says about those who reject the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, we just read, but it says, "Wherefore the Lord God of hosts, Lord God of Israel, saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor. They that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." 1 Samuel 13, 14, "But now thy kingdom shall not continue." He's talking to Saul. "The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." 2 Samuel 17, verses 15 through 20, "And they rejected his statutes and his covenant that he made with their fathers, and his testimonies which he testified against them. And they followed vanity, and became vain, and went after the heathen that were round about them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. And they left all the commandments of the Lord their God, and made them molten images, even two calves, and made a grove, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served Baal. And they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire, and used divination and enchantments, and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger. Therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel, and removed them out of his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah only. Also Judah kept not the commandments of the Lord their God, but walked in the statutes of Israel which they made. And the Lord rejected all the seed of Israel, and afflicted them, and delivered them into the hand of spoilers, until he had cast them out of his sight." 1 Chronicles 28:9. David's talking to his son, and he says, "Thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." We talked about seeking the Lord last week, how that David sought the Lord, Saul did not. When a man or a woman or a child hears the truth about God and rejects it, they open themselves up to the deception of the enemy to keep them from receiving that truth and keep them from repenting and turning to Christ. But you see, all hope is not lost. As long as a person has breath, the hope is not lost. An unbeliever can confess the fact that they have sinned against God, believe that Jesus died on the cross to save them from the penalty of sin, and receive Christ as their Savior. All hope is not lost. For the Christian who chooses to live their life according to the world, the flesh, and the devil, there can be forgiveness by confessing that sin to God, 1 John 1:9. If you're here this morning, you find yourself in one of those two places, I would challenge you, do what you need to do to turn to God, to make things right with God. So you see, David was able to experience victory in his life, because he followed and obeyed God. But if you look at 1 Samuel 31, verses 1 through 4, the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down slain in Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons. And the Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadab and Malchishua, Saul's sons. And the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was sore wounded of the archers. Then said Saul unto his armor-bearer, Draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor-bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it. See, Saul rejected God and he suffered a tragic end. So we ask ourselves the question, we have two men here, David who chose to follow the Lord, Saul who rejected God. We have to ask ourselves, who will we be like this morning? Who will we choose to be like, David or Saul? Let's pray. Father, we know that you include everything in your word for us to learn, for us to grow, for us to be corrected, for us to know the way to walk. We see the life of David and we can follow his example and how that he followed you, how he obeyed you. Even when he sinned, he repented and he turned back to you and you forgave him. Father, we see the life of Saul and how that he rejected you over and over again. Father, I pray that that would not be the case with anyone here this morning. I pray that we would submit ourselves to you. I pray that there's someone here today that does not know you as Savior, that they would see that they need you. They would confess their sin to you. They would receive the gift of salvation that you offer. They would be saved. Father, we thank you for how you work in each one of our lives. We pray that you will be glorified through our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.